I want to share a message today from Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 11. Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Amen. That's the text that God spoke to me, and I want to share with you today, especially because this is a day where we especially honor our mothers. And Jesus encountered many situations where he dealt with women, and there's a lot of encouragement and a lot of things we can learn from that. I wonder if you know how many people did Jesus raise from the dead that the Bible mentions in the Bible. There's like three of them that he directly raised from the dead. There's other people that were raised when he died, and the Bible says like many were brought to life. But directly when he was involved, this was the first one that the Bible mentions, this son of this widow. And then the Bible talks about the Jairus, how you say the name? Jairus, thank you. Jairus' daughter, she was about 12, and then Lazarus was the other person that was raised from the dead. Well, the thing is with this situation, the first one that occurs here, we don't see anybody calling for help to ask Jesus to come. In the other situations, people let Jesus know about the situation. They sent somebody. Jairus, he even went himself personally, and he pleaded with Jesus. That's in Mark chapter 5, verses 22. The Bible says that he was a leader of the and he came and went, and he saw Jesus, and he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and leave." In the case with Lazarus, again, the sister sent word to Jesus and said, "Jesus, please come. Your friend is sick. He's about to die." But in this situation, we don't see anybody being sent to Jesus. When Jesus stopped this group of people going, they just get outside the town. They want to bury this person. And we don't see the mom or this woman coming and just pleading and say, "Please, Jesus, this is my only son. This is such a situation." She's not doing that. Yet the Bible shows the compassion that Jesus had for this woman, for people. So we don't see so much of a prayer or request from this woman towards Jesus. In other words, I see almost she gave up. I think the life was so cruel with her. And she was a widow. Things were bad already. She did not have a husband. And this was the only son she had. And now he is dead. And they go to bury him. And she was so desperate and so discouraged. And we don't see this woman saying a word about her situation to Jesus. And yet, Jesus knew exactly what she's going through. And he was about to help her. He was there to help her. So this is the first thing that I saw here that God spoke to me. There are situations in life that are just too painful to talk about, even with God. Too complicated to talk about, even with God. As I was sitting here and we sing and we praise God and we pray, and I I was sometimes wondering, Lord, would I ever achieve that level of being filled with the Holy Spirit that the first apostle had? I'm looking at my life, and this is the standard. This is the promises, Lord, you had for me to rejoice always, to be victorious. And sometimes I feel like this widow that I gave up, and I say, Lord, it's just too far for me. I don't see that in my life. Lord, I want it, but here it is. This is the situation, Lord. And the encouragement that I get from here is that God knows and sees, and He is hearing even the words that I don't say. And He sees the situations we're facing, even though it's complicated. And sometimes we just don't have enough even power to say it. I mean, even the social media got it. Like, you can put your status on the, I don't know, Facebook or other social media. And, you know, they have single, married, whatever, you know, things. And, you know, it surprised me when I saw this status. You know, some people put, it's complicated. In other words, don't ask, you know, it's a long story. Don't get in here. I'm not married, not single. It's complicated. And I think sometimes in my life, I have those areas in my life where I say, Lord, it's complicated. It's complicated. It's complicated for me to understand. It's complicated for me to tell other people. But it's not complicated for you, Lord. Because God is not like a human being. Jesus was not there and just said, okay, can somebody breathe me like on this? What is going on? What's the situation? What do you want me to do for you, woman? Even though it was obvious. The problem she was facing, Jesus knew exactly. He interrupted everything and says, I know exactly what you go through, and I'm about to help you. I want to encourage you today, if you have those areas in your life that are too complicated to talk about, even with God, there is hope in God. There are so many dramas and so many situations in life that people face that it's even hard to understand. I remember a few years ago, I shared with somebody from the church about this. A mom, she's younger than me, that she was born in the same hometown as I, in Moldova. So, an accident happened. The little child was behind the car somewhere. He hid under the car or something. And she was about to leave, and she crushed her own baby under the car. How do you talk to a person that's going through that? What words do you use? What do you say? I can't even imagine. How do you talk to people like that? And yet, Bible says, before I even speak the word, Psalm 139 verse 4, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Lord, before I even speak, we heard about Hannah. She was in the temple praying, and the Bible says that she was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but there was no voice. And she was just pouring out the heart before the Lord, and the Lord knew exactly what she wants, what she's going through. This is such an encouragement for us that when we face situations like that, I have those moments in my life where I just said, Lord, I don't even know how to pray and what to pray. But I know exactly, Lord, that you see my heart completely. There's nothing for you that you, Lord, are not aware of in my life. And the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit that was sent for that purpose. Romans chapter 8 verses 26 through 27. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts know the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Sometimes we just don't know what words to use, what to say. And the Holy Spirit is in there, and He's interceding for us, and He's praying for us. And even though you just go like, I don't know what to say, Lord, God says, you just speak volumes to me. Just talk to me. Just don't run from me. Just be open with me. I remember the situation when David and his people, they went to war, and when they come back, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 4, when they came back to the town they were living in, they just found the town, everything was burned and destroyed, and the families were taken captives. And all these men, these mighty men of war and strong men, they all were crushed. And the Bible says that David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. They cried and said, "Lord, I cannot cry anymore." This was a complete failure. And he was like, "What do I do now, Lord?" And God guided him and talked to him and helped him. So there are those moments in our lives when we are just facing some circumstances, some situations. And maybe for some people, okay, maybe something, everything is perfect. But if we are Christians and we follow Jesus, we will see the enemy trying always to bring death into our lives. There's always something, you know, some areas, if it's either the children or our own life or thought life or our heart or something. Satan is always trying to kill, destroy, to, you know, steal something or to do something, a mess in our lives. And we'll have to always be careful with that. And sometimes when we see like, "Lord, what is going to be here? What's going to happen there?" God knows everything. I want to encourage all of us today with this, that God sees. He saw this woman's trouble, her tears, her situation. And he knew exactly what she was going through. He did not need any explanation. He did not need anything to explain what's going on. God knew exactly. Jesus knew exactly what she was facing. He showed compassion. He showed concern. And I am sure today, from the youngest to the oldest, God knows exactly what's going on in our lives today. Every season of life has different like things we face. I'm in the middle age where some people say certain things should happen or this or that, you know, and maybe for the kids, they different story, for the teenagers, different story, for elderly people, different story. But I know God is there and he doesn't need explanation. He's not like a doctor. "Okay, you better not lie to me." He knows, even though we cannot, you know, explain everything. And God is compassion. Jesus shows compassion towards us. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about him being the high priest, that he was tempted in everything like we are. So he has mercy on us. He is understanding what we're facing, and we have to come to this throne of grace and ask for help, because he is helping. He's on our side. Every time we fight death, sin, or something that, you know, in our lives we see is bringing death and just separates us from the Lord, or just, you know, bring all these things that are not pleasing to the Lord, he is on our side to help us fight that. We thank God for that. This is the first thing that I see here in this situation. This woman, she's speechless almost. She's suffering. She's going through all this hard time, yet we don't see a word that she says. And Jesus is helping her. And I'm sure Jesus is today here to help all of us who go through things that we sometimes, for us, it's maybe complicated to understand. For me, like this new covenant life, I say, "Lord, it's so difficult even to understand this. How much more to live according, like to live this life and to just to obey all these new commands and to have all these new promises true in my life." And yet God has sent His Holy Spirit to help us. The other thing that I see here is that this woman, I mean, she was just probably a couple more minutes before the funeral was over. Everything was like done. And it seems like it was too late to do anything. And if there's a person it's hard for me to imagine giving up on, you know, finding solutions and finding, you know, help for a child, or is a mom. I mean, there's nothing. If it's in the middle of the night or whatever it is, the mom is going to fight until the last moment. And yet here she is. She's just going, says, "It's too late. Nothing's going to happen. You know, that's it. I'm not sure how I'm going to live my life. All hope is gone. I don't know what I'm going to do." When, I was for Jairus, how you say this? Jairus, thank you. When Jairus was coming and he pleaded with Jesus to come and help him, when they go back to his house, somebody comes and says, hey, don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter is dead. And Jesus tells him, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Believe. Same thing with Lazarus. He was dead and, you know, according to people, it was too late to do anything. But it was not too late for God to do that. I'm thinking sometimes, Lord, are you going to ever be able to do in my life what I'm asking, what I'm eager for? Lord, I cry out day and night. I want to get rid of things in my life that are, you know, sinful and things that are, I want to be more mature. I want to be more strong, Lord. I want to be more careful the way I speak and what I say and how I behave. Lord, would you ever be able to do that in my life? And sometimes I hear Satan saying, well, don't bother Jesus anymore. It's too late. It's too late. Don't bother. And on the other side, I hear Jesus says, don't worry. There's still hope. I can stop in the last moment. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, you know, I can intervene. I can help you out. Just believe in me. Just believe in me. We all know Peter. He was so full of energy for Jesus, and he wanted to live for Jesus, and he wanted to serve Jesus, and the moment came in his life when he just failed completely. He denied Jesus, he said, you know, I don't know him, and he was completely crushed. And this zealous person, this like person full of joy and energy for Jesus, one day he says, after Jesus was crucified and he was buried and then he rose again. And we hear about Peter, like one day he talks to his other friends and the other disciples and he says, you know what? I'm going out to fish. I'm going back to fishing. And for us, maybe we think like maybe he just went to relax or something. Well, back then, it was not just that. It was just a business. That's how they earned their livings. And Peter said, you know, I'm done with this. I'm not a disciple. I don't think this is what I feel there. When Peter goes back, if he just went just temporarily, well, maybe just Jesus will wait for him or, you know, he'll come back. But Jesus had to go and look for him and search for him and say, Peter, I have a purpose for you. You're not done yet, Peter. Peter was not like, okay, let me just go find Jesus and apologize to him and say, Lord, please give me one more chance. He thought it's too late to do anything. I messed up my life. I'm the one who said, Lord, I'll never betray. Even if these will do that, Lord, I will never do that. And he said, it's too late for me to do anything. Brothers and sisters, it's not too late for God. And sometimes he waits for that last moment until we give up all the hope we have. So we don't get not even 1% of the credit what God is doing in our lives. I heard so many people saying in my darkest moments, when I was the most despair, when I thought that's the least that God can baptize me or fill me with the Holy Spirit, that's exactly when it happened. When you think like there's no more hope, there's nothing I can do, Jesus is coming. This woman had no idea that while her group is going towards that grave they have for her son, on the other side, Jesus was approaching and he says, I'll be in perfect timing for you. Just listen to me and pay attention to me. Don't interrupt me. Just let me do what I have for your life. God is able to do that for us. It's not too late for him to do something for us. We cannot control what other people do. But if there is something in our families that we want God to intervene, he is there. And we just have to ask, Lord, please, please, Lord, work in my life. Work in my family, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you. I remember in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah was running away from Jezebel, a woman that just threatened him and she wanted to kill him because he just put to shame some false prophets and he was so scared for his life. This man of God. And he just runs away. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19 from verse 3, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day of journey into the wilderness. He did not go to search help and pray with somebody. Say, hey, I'm so desperate. Please pray with me. Maybe find another prophet. There are still some prophets. He just went into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than any ancestors. Then he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. There are moments in our lives when we just face those situations, those giants, when we say, Lord, I'm done. I don't know how to do this. Lord, it's just too much for me. I remember being crushed and crying before the Lord and not even knowing what to say, just realizing, Lord, this situation that I'm facing is just too much for me. And this man of God, Elijah, when he was facing that moment of discouragement, when he went into the wilderness, not to see anybody, not to talk to anybody, he just wanted to be alone and say, Lord, and he even asked the Lord, please, Lord, let me die. Do you pray for that? Like, Lord, what? No. But this man was so desperate. And when God sent the help, he did not send the angel to scold him and to just rebuke him. He said, Elijah, get up, eat. And he went back to sleep. And he said, wake up again, eat, get strength. I'm not done with you. I'm not too late in your life. It's not too late for me to work in your life. Elijah, get up and eat. Same thing Jesus said to this man. Get up. And he stood up and he spoke. And these people just were so blessed to have Jesus there because he was not too late to come in these people's lives. I believe one day everything will make so much sense and we'll just look at it and say, Lord, even though I could not explain it, could not understand it, Lord, it seems like you came too late to work in my life. Lord, it all makes sense now. It all was adding up. Lord, it makes sense what you were working. We all know Romans 8, 28, 29. These verses that say that God works everything together for our good. They work, we don't understand everything, but they work together. And in that chapter, verse 18, Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. It's not worth comparing the suffering you go through when we will see what God was doing behind the scenes in your life. When we thought everything was gone, when we thought, okay, we're just facing and it's just all sadness and this desperation and just, Lord, I have no idea what's going to happen. Jesus is working and he is there and everything will make sense one day. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. To do more than we can even imagine or ask, to him be the glory. God is able to do that. God is able to do that. I want to encourage today all of us, not just the mothers, but especially mothers. I particularly wanted to bring as an example Peter and David because I think women are more vulnerable and they are they cry a lot. But men also cry. That's why I see Peter and David, they cry. And the risk is that sometimes, like a turtle, we just, you know, we lock inside, we close the door, we shut the windows, we shut everything, and we don't want to talk to anybody or see anybody. And God is watching us. And He's the one that scanned the heart, and He knows exactly what we face, what we go through. And maybe like this woman, well, Jesus did not raise every dead person in Israel. The Bible mentioned a couple of these situations because He proved that He was the Son of God. He had to like show people that through signs and miracles that He's the Son of God. And people saw that and they believed the Word of God that He was presenting to them. But death is the biggest enemy that human race ever faced. And Jesus wants to show that He is stronger than that, And later, even in His life, when He was put to death, He, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He was brought to life. And He showed and He proved that He's God and He overcame death. But like I said, in our lives, maybe we have those areas where we see that Satan is trying to bring death. And for this, the Bible says that He was praying in His days on this earth. Jesus was praying with cry, like He was crying out loud, and with tears He was asking the Father to save Him from death. And it was not the physical death, because obviously He died physically. But every time He would face a situation, for example, to get proud about something, or to be discouraged, or whatever the situation was, He saw Satan trying to bring death in His life. And He was praying, and He was praying. And He said, Father, let me be faithful. He wanted to be faithful until the last day and obey the Father and be that perfect sacrifice for us. And today, He's compassionate. He feels with us. Whenever you fail that temptation, whenever you just see again struggling somewhere, I know God is on your side if you hate sin. If that mom would go like, you know, I don't know, maybe it's just a tradition in Romania, especially gypsy people, they have this tradition. It's a lot of joy at this funeral. They have singing and dancing and stuff like that. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. But if people just be happy, like, man, okay, finally I got rid of this person in my life. We'll just go and, you know, have a funeral and I'm over. Probably nobody would bother how, you know, help bring him back to life. But if your heart is crushed, say, Lord, this is precious to me. Lord, I don't want this to be true in my life. I don't want this to happen. Lord, I think God is there to help. What I want to say with this, if we enjoy sinning, if we just go, man, I just told another lie, nobody catched me. God will never help such people. But if you just go and you just find in your heart a little tiny root of, you know, pride and say, Lord, I don't want that. People praised me, Lord, and I liked it. And I don't want it, Lord. God, Jesus is coming to help you. Jesus is coming there. If you're just facing a temptation and you just, you know, you feel like, Lord, I don't want to do this. Lord, it's death. It smells like death. Lord, I don't want it. Jesus is on your side. Because He did that too. If you see facing like around you, around us, all these temptations and Satan trying to like just say, okay, just be like everybody else, man. That's the norm. You know, why do you want to be different? Lord, I want to be full of energy for you, Lord. I want to give my life for you, Lord. I give you everything. We just sang this morning that line. It's always hard for me to say. I pause all the time and say, Lord, do I really mean it, Lord? Do I really mean it, Lord? And because we have that reaction inside, it's the Holy Spirit that prompts us and helps us say, yes, that's the right thing to do. And God is there to help. And sometimes it's hard even to say it in words. But God is there to help us. I remember one time, I was younger, maybe, I don't know, 11, 12 or something, and my older brother, he's 4 years older than me. It was in the spring, about March or so. I don't know exactly if it was March or April. But during that time, we have a lake outside our village. I grew up in a country. And outside the village, it was a lake. And the ice was not that thick. It was thinner ice. But he liked a lot skating. And he went there. There was nobody there that day. He just went alone. And that lake was a little bit outside the village. And he just went skating, and all of a sudden the ice broke, and he just went under the water. He managed to fight for some time. He thought he can do it alone. And he couldn't just get, you know, he was getting like cold and very hard to move, and he was thinking he was going to die. And as he was fading, like, you know, his strength and the power was just, you know, less and less in him. He just barely could cry, help, or like, you know, in Romania, he asked for help. And there was a person somewhere outside there working something, and they heard him. And immediately they just went and asked for help, and the neighbor came, and they offered him a rope, and he couldn't even grab the rope his blood was just, you know, so, and one of my neighbors, he just jumped in and just took him out and threw him outside. And my brother is alive today, and he was saved from drowning. I will say this wrong. Drowning or drowning. Thank you. Because somebody jumped in and helped him out. When you are drowning, God sees if you just want to get outside of that situation. And he says, I'm on your side. I'm here to help. Just cry out for me. Just cry out for me. I want to encourage you all to seek the righteousness of God and hate everything that's death, like sinful in our lives. Because Jesus was anointed as a mighty priest of God because he hate iniquity and loved righteousness. I'm not asking if you who fail. I ask you, how do you react when you fail? If you fail 100 times and you get up 100 times, God is on your side to help you. It's not too complicated for God to understand your heart. It's not too late for Him to come to rescue you and me. It's not too complicated, and it's worth it. It's just too good to be true that the Holy Spirit is here to help us and help us overcome all the time. I just wanted to encourage you all today with this message. Amen.